We'll start because we cut Dekar off yesterday. We'll start down Yemar Bachashu, which is four lines from the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Bet, right, the last narrow line. All right, so Yemar Bachashu, have a masik bezuze b'hau gavra. He was a creditor to this individual, Shachiv. The debtor passed away. Veshavik arba, and he left the boat. So he wanted to obviously grab the boat as collateral for his loan. So he sent a messenger, Zil Tafsa Niale, go grab this boat for me. Azil Tafsa. He went ahead and he grabbed it. Pagu Bey Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa bumped into the Shliach. Amrulei, at to face the Baal Chov, Bamachum Shechav Le'achirim. You're grabbing, meaning that you're grabbing for the benefit of a Baal Chov in an instance where what? Where he also owes to others. Bamar Rav Yochanan, at to face the Baal Chov, Bamachum Shechav Le'achirim. Person who grabs for a Baal Chov, meaning that a messenger, a shliach that's grabbing for a Baal Chov, a Machum Shechav L'Cherim, lo kono. It doesn't work.
The problem is the shliach.
Right, right, exactly. It's not, if he had done it himself, we're going to see in a second, had he done it himself, he would not have been an issue. The issue is that he sent someone else to do it on his behalf. And so that's what, if you look in the top Rashi, it says, lav kol kaminei l'chov zeh, this shliach cannot operate in a way where he'll help one side, one party, and be a deficit to the other parties. Right, but in general, we would say that shluchu shel adam kamoso, right, because that's, you know, a person's allowed to be zocha on behalf of someone else. But here, their claim is that you're not acting, when you're acting here, right, you're not, he's not the only party involved.
Well, what about giving a get to a woman that doesn't want it?
Well, that's
giving a shliach.
Right, but there it's not. Giving the get baal korcho is not a. The Torah is not a problem. A get baal korcho is not a problem according to the Gemara. So that's not. Right, I mean, he's only functioning in the way that the Torah would allow him to function. Tfisa is not a clear. Operational. Halachic function. I mean, tefisa works that if you do it, right, then you're protected, but allowed to keep it. But now we don't go and recommend tefisa as a halachic solution to some items. Right? So here you're sending a shliach, and the shliach's trying to act on your behalf, right? And yet he's then also causing deficits to others. So you say, okay, it's enough that we allowed you to do something like this. We're not going to allow you to then create shlichim to do this. And the deficit is definitely the shliach. All right. So now, what they do? Rav Papa and Rav Yehuda of the Rebbe Shua said, "Tafsu inu." They went. They were both creditors to this guy as well. So this guy was a popular debtor with the Moraim, and he is. He also had Rav Papa and Rav Yehuda of the Rebbe Shua as debtors, as creditors. So they went ahead. Inu Rav Papa mimlach meluche. So Rav Papa, how does he kone the boat? He went ahead and he steered it. It sounds like he grabbed the oars or he turned the rudder, so he steered the boat. So that was his way of taking a kinyan on the boat. Ravuna Breda Yeshua, Mamtachla Ba'ashlo. He grabbed the ropes. So the ropes here being that in the narrow rivers, they used to sometimes pull the boats. Instead of row or sail the boats through the middle of the river, they used to pull them upstream. So he pulled the rope that pulls the boat upstream. So those are both ways of possibly taking, if you were making a kinyan on the boat, if you had bought it, these would be ways to make the kinyan. So here they are. They're making a kinyan on this boat in order to be tofeset. Mar amar ana kanina le kula. I was kind of the whole boat. Mar amar ana kanina le kula. And the other one said, I took the whole boat. I mean, that they're arguing about who was tofeset the boat at this point. So paga bahu Rav Chim Klinchas Barami. So Rav Klinchas Barami bumped into them. Hello, Rav Shmuel Damrei Tarvayu. Right, we saw this yesterday. What in the pay down a bet? That what? Bahu shi tzuburim u'monachim b'shus rabim. The only time you're allowed to be tofeset, right, for a chov, right, before the Yisomim get it, is what? If it's functionally, where is it? It's in the Rishus Rabbim, where the Yisomim don't get an automatic kinyan on the item. If the Yisomim get an automatic kinyan on the item, then it works like a regular, right, Yerusha. And once the Yisomim have it, you got to take a shul to get it out. And also, Metatlin would not be Meshavdei. All the rules, normal rules of Yisomim. But if you're able to grab it prior to it coming into the possession of the Yisomim, right, then it works. But the only way you can do that is if it's in a place where they would not automatically get it. Where's that? That's in Rishus Rabin. So they said, Amru ananami macharifuta denara tafisinna. Right? We grabbed the boat. It wasn't parked anywhere. It was in the middle of the river, going down where the, you know, where the river flows fast. So we grabbed it out of the middle of the river, a place which would otherwise be considered Rishus HaRabim. So since that's a Rishus HaRabim, they took it out of the Rishus HaRabim. So Ame Atu Lekame de Robo. So then they come before Robo to pass from the din for them. Amalo Kake Chiyure. You, I don't know, white-haired geese. He meant it, I think, in a positive manner here, but, you know, you're telling me the Chachamim, right? Right? That you're throwing around people's coats like this mean that you're grabbing other people's property, right? You're taking away the property from the Yesomim. So Amar Rav Nachman, we had this yesterday, right? Rav Nachman said, right? Amar Rav Nachman, the name, when in Rabbi Akiva Shita, who holds that Tfisa does not work, when does he hold that Tfisa does work? And we pass them like Rabbi Akiva, and where does Tfisa work? Amar Nachman Behusha Tafsa Michayim. That's all if you grabbed it before the death of the, what? Of the debtor, right? Before it went to the Yorshim. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says there's no Tfisa unless you grabbed it while he was still alive. Here you're already, he's dead. And you're trying to do Tfisa, you're going to take it away from the Somim. That you can't do.
What's the
end
result? Nobody gets it.
What?
None of them get it.
Right, the Yisomim get it. Exactly. The Yisomim get it. Because it belongs to the Yisomim. Once they, there is no stage. Right, at least according to Rabbi Tarfon, there seems to be two stages. There seems to be an estate stage. And then there's a state where the Yisomim get it. As long as you're able to get it before it falls to the Yisomim, then that Tfisa works, according to Rabbi Tarfon. But he says there's no in-between stage. There's only two stages. It's the Father's or it's the Yisomim. Once the Yisomim, there's nothing to talk about, because then you need to have the Porei B'Shvua, Tatamatat, Manat B'Shavde. So the only way to get it is while the father was still alive, while the debtor was still alive, and then he was Tofisit. How he was Tofisit, why Tfisa works when he's alive, you have to say, I think Rabbi David mentioned about the Ritva, that it's a Mashkel. He's trying to grab it as a Mashkel, and therefore it functions as a Mashkel when he's alive. All right, next case. Avyimei Breid Rabbi Abo of Amaskebe Zuzei Bechuzai. So Rabbi Abo, they were he had some creditors in Beit Chozai. So Sadrino Biyad Chamo Braid the Rabbi Baravuach. So he went to pay them back. Right, the creditors were hounding him, so he sent the money back with Chamo Braid the Rabbi Baravuach. Right, Azal Parino. They paid. So Chamo Braid the Rabbi paid these guys back. He sent them the money. Like say, he owed him $100. Sent $100 with him, and he went and paid them. Amarlo Avoli Shtara. And he said to them, "Give me the shtar." Right, because they have a debt document that makes the claim against them. So he paid them back. He wants to rip up the shtar. Amulei sitrainin. He goes, no. You don't realize we have two debts with him. We have one debt that's written in the shtar, and we have another debt that's baal peh. That was what? An oral debt. So he really owes us $200. One of them is written down in the shtar. The other one was a oral debt that we never had written down in a shtar. And we're taking it for the oral debt. So we're going to keep the shtar to get our second 100 back. So I'm out to the Kami, the Rabbi Bo, and went in front of Rabbi Bo to find out what to do. Right? So they have here, Amalei Islach Sade Departinu. Do you have witnesses that you paid these guys back? So Amalei Lo says no. So Amalei Migo the Yecholim Lamar Lo Yedvar Miolam. These creditors in Beit Chozai could deny it ever happened. They could deny that you ever gave them the money. Yecholim Namle Meimar Sitrayinu. Then they definitely can say what Sitrayinu. So now done. That's a done deal. You can't get the shtar out of the guy. They keep their money. That's gone. Now the Inyan Shlume Shliach Mai. What about this Chama Brei the Rabbi Baravua who was not going to be the favorite person of Avime anymore. You guys, what? What does he have to pay back Avime? Because he caused them a loss here. By not taking the shtar first and paying the money, he causes a loss to them. So Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinan, we check. What was his instructions from Avime? Did he say to him, take the shtar and then give the money, then Mishalim, then he's Chayev? Why? Because he gave the money and then asked for the shtar. He did it the wrong way around. He should have claimed the shtar first. Havzuzei v'shakul shtara. Had he given the instructions to what? Pay the money, then take the shtar. Then he did that. So lo mishalei. And then he wouldn't have to pay. V'lohi, the Gemara rejects that. It says, ben kach u'ben kach mishalei. He's chayov to pay. Why? Damarlei, l'tzgunei shir d'diach, v'lo levutei. He says that I sent you to look out for my best interests. And the fact is what? That you didn't do that. That the shliach here, or did not look out for the best interests of his mishaleach, and therefore he caused them the loss. Right? He should have said, you should have acted like you would have wanted to act it for yourself. That had it been your money, you would never have paid them until you had the star in your hand and ripped up. Right? The fact is that you act in a manner now that it's cost me another $100, and therefore what? The shliach is chayav to pay to the mishaleach in this case. All right, that's the first case. Next case. Hay itita da miftigu gaba maluga dishtari. This is an interesting case here. She has a package of shtaros. All right, she has a pikadon, a package of shtaros. Atu yorshim and katavu lemino. The yorshim come, the father who put this with her, there's a gentleman, gave these package of shtaros. Now these shtaros are probably our credit, you know, documents where people owe money to the father. So he went and left them by this woman. Right? So then the yorshim, he dies, and the yorshim want the documents so they can go make the claims, right, that are the creditor claims here. She says, I grabbed them in my lifetime. I mean, he also owed me money. And these documents were a mashkon for the money that he owed me, and I grabbed them while he was still alive. I took them as a mashkon. So after the kamei de Rabbi Nachman, so they came for Nachman, Amar lo, islach sadeh de tavu minach mechayim. Is there, do you have witnesses that they actually made a claim against you while he was still alive? Velo yavitni aleh, and then you didn't give it to them. Meaning that, how do we know that she took it? She was given it as a pikadon. Right? As a pikadon. She was given it as a shomeret. Right, she was acting as a shomeret. It was a pikadon. How can she be toe-faced the pikadon? Right, because she's still she's functioning as a shomeret. So the only way she can say that she changes her function from a shomeret to a toe-face is if they make a claim. If they, while she was still alive, they went and said, "Give me back the shtaros," and she says, "No way, I'm keeping the shtaros." Then she switches from becoming a shomeret to becoming a toe-face, right? Because they made a claim and she refuses to give it back. So then she's ceased functioning as a right, as a guardian for the, or custodian for the shtaros, and she is now nepach into what? Being a seizer of the property for her debts. So she goes, do you have witnesses that such a transaction took place?
So that's the issue, not that she's a woman.
No,
not that she's a woman at all. No. The issue is not a woman at all. The issue is whether she actually was tofes michayim. I mean, did she ever switch her function from being a custodian to being a seizure of the property for her own debts, to taking it as collateral for her debts. Who's the most mechavero here? She agrees that that he was mifgat with her. She admits that she was.
She's got it, right, but she's got it in her possession now. They want to take it out of her possession.
But she has it in her possession. How? As how? She's claiming it. You're right. It's in my possession through being a pikadon. She agrees to that part, but then she says I was tofes it. So now she's. Right, she's saying that I do have it as a pikadon, and
she has a migo.
Oh, so what's the migo?
She doesn't have to admit to the fact that she has it as a pikadon. I mean, do they have other witnesses that can?
All right, good, excellent. All right, so Tosus asks your questions. All right, let's finish the case, and we'll go. The big Tosus here asks your question. Why can't you say amigo over here? Right, it's a very important Tosus in migo, and so let's finish the case so we have the case in hand, and we'll discuss it in migo because it's a very important principle in migo. All right, so Tosus finish a little. So after the kamei de Rav Nachman, they went before Menachem and said, "Islach sadeh tavu minoch michayim." They claimed it from you while you were alive. Them, I mean, or their father, really. V'lo yavidni aleh, and you didn't give it to him. Amar lo, imkei chavitfisa l'acha miso. We assume, unless you have edim that you were tofes it when she was alive, then we assume the tfisa happened after miso. V'tfisa l'acha miso lo kulam hu. And therefore, tfisa after death, like Rabbi Akiva Shita, right, and Rav Avraham of Nachman, who says in Rabbi Akiva Shita that when you grab it after death, it's not meaningful. And therefore, what? Therefore, it's not a tefisa, and you'd have to return it to the yorshim. Right? So Shaul asks an important question. Why don't you say amigo? What? The amigo is what? She could have claimed, b'kuchim him biyodi. I bought the shtaros. She had a better claim. Right? Her claim, she came along and said, what? I was a shomeret. It was a pikadon with me, and then I was tofesit. She could have just said, what? When the yorshim came to claim, she goes, b'kuchim him biyodi. I bought them. Right? And therefore, what? You have no rights to them. If she said that, then what? They have nothing to say. Right? So now when she comes and makes the lower claim, what would be? It would be like amigo. The amigo is what? She could have said they were bought in my... bought, and instead she says what? No, they were pikadon, but I grabbed them. Right? So why not? Why? That's a good claim. That means that since she had a better claim, that's how amigo works. If she had a better claim, a more nitzachet claim, a claim that would have been much stronger based in, she gives the weaker claim, we assume that she's not lying then because she had a stronger claim. So look at Tosfos, ask you a question. First line of Tosfos, Im Tomer, Amai Tzricha Sadeh, Nemenu Lididoh, Mimigo, Delo Bayam, Lukuchin, and Biyadi. Say she should be Neman, because what? She can say they are Lukuchin, and Biyadi. So now Tosfos just deals with a technical problem, which actually is on the second Oma today. Davgav, the claimant, then Otio, Niknot, Mesiro. Right, so the problem is here, that you can't be, in Alocha, you can't be Kone Ashtar. Meaning that you can't be Kone Ashtar, you can be Kone the Shtar document itself, but you can't be Kone the rights of the Shtar. So a debt document, not like today, where we transact in debt, right? Today, where you have debt documents, and people transact in the debt, all, and the, you become the new creditor. Whoever buys the debt is now the creditor to the borrower, right? You can sell debt. Like public markets, you sell debt, and then it's traded among people. That you can't do, because there's no kinyan. In Alocha, there's no kinyan in debt.
Currency is.
Right?
Except for
Shibuda. Right? Yeah, but there, but that's done through a separate debt document. Two debt documents are written in that case. The Reuven owes Shimon, and then Shimon owes Levi. So then Levi can go back to Reuven. But there it's not, they didn't sell the original debt document. Good, he created a second chov. There. So over here.
Well, there was a second chov.
He created a second chov, or there is a second chov.
Then he created a special witness, it was there.
Right, or you could create it. Yeah, it would do the same thing, right, to create the. But you'd have to have a new document. You couldn't do it like we do, where we just move, like the same documents moved around, right? Like currency would work that way, although currency might work differently today. It may not be as a debt obligation. It might work that everybody agrees that that represents a certain value.
It's kind of moved to that, but originally it was a claim against the central bank.
Right, for gold, but it was underlying. But it still could have been that people believed that it represented the underlying gold, and it was not necessarily, they didn't view it as an obligation, but rather as the equivalent of transacting in the gold. Right. So you have to, you could differentiate in currencies. All right, but for right now, let's just work with these debt documents. You can't be konem mesira, v'tzricha mesira, shtar l'kicha. So he says, that's to create the chov, but she could have been kone the niar, the paper. Right? And why is that? Why is it important that she be kone the niar? Because you could then blackmail, she's holding them to blackmail the yisomim. She's holding all these debt documents that are worth a lot to them. So how is she going to extort the money from them to pay back her loan? She goes, well, I got five documents that say that you, five people owe you $100, and you owe me $100. So you're right, I can't be the creditor here, so I can't get my money out. But if I keep these documents, you guys are out $500. You pay me $100, I'll give you the documents back, and then you can make all your claims. So that's what he says. So he says, even though she couldn't be kone the chov, she could be kone the documents, and the document, the paper is valuable, because the Yisomim want the paper back to become creditors again. So she, that's what she was doing as a blackmail. But then, Tosus makes an important point here. Let's see, where is she? Where is it? Go to this. Omer Ri. It's about, if you go down in the narrow lines, it's across from the word Rishus Rabim in the Gemara. It's across from Chavbet in the Ein Mishpat. It's across from Sitrai in Rashi. I don't know if any of those help. Different layouts for everybody here. Okay, good. Omer Ri. Delo Choshev Migo, Ho Ba'achshav Eini Yechol Liton Lekuach Hu Biyodi. It's not a good migo. Why? Because now she can't make the claim. What that I would have bought it? Why? She kvar amra mechayim tefsisna. She already made a claim that I grabbed it when she was alive. Shim de ibay amra lekuchi and biyadi b'shasha amra mechayim tefsisna lo mehemna. She's not believed. Hashta the ota shasha amra mechayim tefsisna sevura hayta shitana meula. See, that's an unbelievable statement. What is the Ri says that migo only works when you knew that there were two claims. You knew both tainas, and you thought you gave the weaker taina. It only works. Amigo works was that you had two options, and you took the worse option. Then we believe you. But if you thought your option was the best option, and then Basin later tells you, well, if you had said this, it would have been better. We don't say it's amigo, because when she said it, she thought she gave the best option. It means that what? The whole way amigo works is that if you wanted to lie, you had a better lie. Right? That means when you have the two options in front of you, stronger A, weaker B, and you choose weaker B. Why? Because, you know, we say that's a good claim, because if you wanted to lie, you would have said A, and you would have been in a much better position.
Yeah, I'm honest.
The fact that you choose, right, the fact that you chose B, right, again, I know that, that, by the way, that only works for the first generation of people. As soon as people figure out that that's the Migo, then the liars will go and say B. But that's, right, it only works up to a certain point, Amigo. But, right, so the assumption of Amigo is that I had two choices in front of her. Problem here is that she didn't have two choices in front of her. She only thought of one. She thought that the best claim that she could have was Tafisna Hul Mechaim. She made the best claim.
How do we know that?
What?
How do we know that?
That she made that claim.
Why don't we say that she chose the claim that would honestly be made? In other words,
what? That was what she said.
In other words, she did. What? She didn't buy them.
Right.
She has no legal then.
She didn't buy them. Oh, right. But then what's her nemanus? The problem is, what's her nemanus then? Because she was functioning as a custodian. So how does she switch into tefisa? She's got to prove to us, the burden of proof is on her to show that she was tofeset michayim, that she took it when she was alive. Right? So the two ways to make her neman is one, avedim, that I took, she said it was a claim when she was alive, when he was alive.
So all the cases in Perek Rishon of Migo were cases where the Migo was where she, where it was also a valid claim, also a true and
invalid claim. Well, the claim is,
her claim could be invalid.
She could be true, but she's not. She doesn't have neman.
She can't
in this claim.
It.
Right.
But
the burden of proof is on her.
Do we, I don't understand. Like, how do we know that she didn't know that she could have also said, you know, the kufa simgadi?
Yeah, how does Tosas know?
How does he know that she couldn't have said the kufa? No, because the fact is that she admitted that she had a pikadon. I think this is why he's saying that she admitted it was a pikadon, and then she said she was tofes michayim, which means that she was smart enough to know that she had to say tefisa michayim. I think Tosas is focused on the fact that she thought she had a great claim by saying that I grabbed it when he was still alive. Because normally he would just say that I was a shomeris, and then I grabbed it when he died, and it would have been gone. The fact that she knew to be tofes michayim means that she thought she had the ace up her sleeve, that she took it when she was alive. I think that's what Tosas was focused on, that she was halachically aware that tefisa michayim was what she needed. And the fact that she was halachically aware made her ready.
Or that was what actually happened, and therefore that's what she's claiming.
Right, but then again, the nemanos is only when she thought she had an alternative
right,
claim.
Right, no, but that would give her amigo. You
know, Tosas says that he thinks that that's not the case here. And the last line of Tosas is, Elevade migo de mafreya lo amrina, which is an interesting migo. He says you can't say a retroactive migo. You know, migo only works when
once,
standing
like, once
you make in
front your claim,
of you. Right. Before you make a claim, we have two claims in front of you, and you make this claim. Here, again, Tosas' idea is that she only has one idea, and she's picking the best idea here. Not that she's choosing between lekuchos
and not. Could we say that Tosas felt that way also because the father told the children that this was a pikadon that she had?
Right. The question is, how do we know it's a pikadon? Right. That it might be also. That she might be forced into a position where...
It's a well-known thing.
It might have been well-known, and then she could. But then she still could have the claim lekuchim yadi, that it switched. Our relationship switched. You're right, it was a pikadon, but I bought it from him. But I think Tosas is really focused on tafsu mechaim. I would just say that, because that's an unusual thing. Everybody could say tafsu, I took it. Right? The fact that she said tafsu michayim thinks like she thinks she really has it now because she took it when he was alive. All right, but anyway, that's just to answer your question. That he says about the migo, but there is this no migo the freya, and he brings proofs in between. I skipped them, but he brings proofs from other places that we don't say a migo after the fact that it could have had a better claim. Because the only way you say migo is if you had the better claim and you chose to make the lower claim. All right, next case in the Gemara. So you have another woman. She was in the Beis Din of Ravo, and she was now chayiv shvua. Right? Amalei bas Rav Chista. Who's bas Rav Chista? That's his wife. Right? The daughter of Rav Chista is his wife. Yadana bat chashuda shvua. She goes, I know this woman is chashuda shvua. That's one of these shvuas in shvuas. We'll learn one day. Daf Yomi will get there again. Shvuas is what that if a person is chashuda shvua, you flip the shvua on the other party. Right, so she, Bats Rav Chista, says that it's Choshed al Shvua, Apcho Rabba, the Shvua Ashkenegda. So Rabba flipped the Shvua onto the other party. So there's Zimnin Habayotve, Kamei Rav Papa, Rav Adabar Matno. So sometimes another case came up, and Rav Papa and Rav Adabar Matno were sitting in front of Rabba this time. Aitu al Shtar Gabe. They went, and a Shtar shows up in Basin. There's somebody's making a claim, a creditor is making a claim with a Shtar. Amalei Rav Papa, Yadanabe, the Shtar Brihu. But Papa says, I know this is a paid out star already. I think this star was paid, it was claimed already, and it's a invalid star at this point. So I'm like, Ikinishachrino Bade, Demar, do you have another witness that comes along with you? You're an Eid Echad. Where's your other witness here? I'm like, Lo. I'm like, Afagav Dikamar, Eid Echad Lav Plumhu. Even though we have you, he goes, you're not worth anything because you're an Eid Echad. So of course, what does Rav Papa say to him? I'm like, Ravader Banatna says to him about Rav Papa, Velo Yev Rav Papa, Kabat Rav Chista. Rabab is no. Why is Rav Papa worse than your wife? Your wife comes in and says this woman's chashuda shvua, and you listen to her and you flip the shvua. Right. So that's it. What is
it? Rav Papa's not making dinner for
you. So Rav Papa came along and he says something. He got asked, "Where's the other eight? I mean, what type of basin is this?" So he says, "So this is an amazing thing." But Bad Rav Chista Kum Levi Gava, Akim Levi Gava. I know Bas Rav Chista. She never lies. I know her well enough that I know she would always tell the truth. I know you, but I don't know you that well. So I don't know you well enough to make that claim that I know that you would never lie. Alright, so that's an unbelievable statement. Alright, we'll just finish up the Gemara quickly and then we'll go back to point out some of the problems here. So, Amar Rav Papa, Hashto, Damar Mar Kim Levi Kavei. So Rav Papa says, well, now that we know that what? That Ravo says that knowing something about, being certain about somebody has value, then Milsahi. What? Abba Bar Mari, for me, Abba Bar Mari, the Kimli Bekaveh, that I know about him, that I trust him implicitly, explicitly, I would never question anything he says. Karana shtar apume. I'd rip up a shtar based on his word. Rav says, Karana sagadatcha? I mean, all right, it's enough to believe him. You know, Rava flipped the shvu on the other person. He didn't pass an halacha according to Bafra Chizda. What do you mean, rip up the shtar? Ella, what? Marana shtara apume. We would, what? We would question the validity of the shtar based on his statement. Rashi says, and we'll leave it now, that Rashi says, Marana is lo yistakak legabos v'otu shtar. We can't make a claim with this shtar. We don't rip it up.
So
exactly. We don't rip it up, but we don't make the claim valid. So it'll sit, you know, unwanted in Rashi. Well, two problems we're going to have. We'll point out the issues with the Gemara. First issue with the Gemara is what? That we know, how does an Eid Echad function normally? We know that in halacha, at least Hilchas Mamonos, right, in monetary matters, an Eid Echad is Mechayev Eishvua. So what's going on over here? Rava says to Rav Papi, oh, what? Who cares? You're an Eid Echad. What does that do for us here? What do you mean? Of course it does something. It'll force the same shvua, which it would force the shvua, you make a big difference. But same like Petzvah Chiz, who's flipping the shvua, here he will at least be mechayiv the shvua. Let him be mechayiv the shvua. So Tosfos says, it's an amazing statement here, Tosfos says what? That the issue at hand here is that it doesn't have, it can be someone who's posel le'edus. So when you say kimle begavei, when we're talking about Rav Chisda and Rav Papi, Tosfos makes up an ekimta in the case here that Rav Papi was a karov in this case here. And that what? The fact is that we would, if you're Kim Leib Gavei, that even a Karov is enough, right, to change the circumstances of the case. Even though normally, yes, if you had a regular Eid Echad, a single Eid, he would be able to be Mechai B'Shvua. But if you have Psule Eidus, they do nothing in a case. Psule Eidus are meaningless in a case. Except what? Bat Rav Chisda, a woman, right, and Rav Papi, who was, according to Tosfos, at least a Karov. In this case, they have Tokef because Kimle Begave, or they would have had Tokef if it was Kimle Begave or a puppy. And that's what he's saying later on by Mari Bar, by, what's his name? Mari Bar.
His son.
What? Right. That is,
my papa's son.
Right.
Abba
Mari. Right. So that, that he would have believed him. I mean, that he would have believed him in a case where he would otherwise be possible. Eidus, I would have believed him to be Marana Shtara Pume. So Rashi says, what is Marana Shtari Apume? It means that what? We invalidate the Shtar and we leave it hanging. Tosfos argues against this. He brings the rock. Actually, it's Rabbeinu Chananel who argues on this. Right? He says that, if you look in Tosfos to the left of us right now, Marana Shtari Apume, Perish Rach, Perish Shus Adayim, Kol Marana B'Shas. Ain't that this Gemara uses the term B'Shas? Gavi Shtar, Ainu Shetzorach, Bala Shtar, Lishya Va, Kodem Shiyigva. It requires a shvua. What is Marana on the shtara? Means that what? It forces the shvua to collect. Not that it invalidates the shtar. The way Rashi is reading it
weakens the shtar.
It weakens the shtar, and then therefore the shtar is not a claimable shtar without further evidence. Right? Yeah. The way Rashi is learning is no. Oh, you have to do it. Okay, yes. The shtar now has questions around it, but if you take a shvua, you can undo.
Nishpa
Venota. Right. You can undo these questions. And he says, Valosh and Mashbuk. And he says that other places in Shas, whenever we say a shtar, is no longer valid. We say mikvalo gvinan, right? Mikvalo mikrinan. We don't rip it up and we don't claim with it. In fact, the Gemara doesn't say that over here. It seems to be it's after something else. And what is it after? He claims, looking like the Rach, that what it's after a shavua here.
What would the shavua be?
It's a good star. It's a star lo paru, or that right? That is still a valid star.
If there was a loan that was given with a star. Isn't it incumbent on the lender to get the star back when he when he repays? I mean, the borrower to get the star back when he repays it.
Yeah, but that's what happens.
You know, then we.
Right, or he has a show bearer.
Yeah, like same way. If you borrow, if you lend in front of witnesses, then you have to. If you don't get repaid in front of witnesses,
the allegation's on you. But maybe it can be a claim that he gave him a show bearer, gave him a receipt, and he lost the receipt. He says, "I did pay it. I had a receipt, and I lost the receipt." Right. We talked about earlier, whether who the obligation's on, whether he gets the shtar back, whether the shover is good enough, do we make the obligation on who to keep the shover? There are other ways to have that done without and come back into a claim. Or he threw the shtar in the garbage and somebody picked it up in the garbage and then now all of a sudden
he said. I mean, he said that's foolishness on his part. Why didn't you rip it up?
Maybe he ripped the guy, taped it back together. there are ways to come back with the shtar. Yeah, I'm getting you right. In the end, if you're a smart guy, you would rip up the shtar. You know, it's not like. But it doesn't always end up that way. Right?
Paper was precious.
Right, they tried to use stars all the time. We'll see that later in the Gemara today.
Right.
Alright, so next. Alright, next case in the Gemara. Again, this is just going to be case after case after case. And we're going to see halachas out of each of these cases. So this woman was chayiv to be shvua in the Beis Din. The Rabbi Barabai. How about din? Tete v'tishteva b'matai. Let her come and swear in my city. Because what the whole point of a shvua is what? That the person will be michsaf, they'll be embarrassed to take the shvua, and therefore they're going to pay her, they'll tell the truth. So he felt that this woman was not in a place where anybody knew her, where she'd be have some fear, or have some, what? Reservation about making the shvua. So he wanted to take her to the city, after the michsafu modya, that maybe she'll be embarrassed, or she'll be a little more careful, and she'll admit to the problem. So Amaluhu, so she says to the Beis Din, Katvuli, Kitvuli, Zichuta, or Zichvata, Techimishtabnanol Yahavli, that what? Write me a document that says that what? That I swore, and he gave it to me. So that what? That Techimishtabna Yahavli, that when, what, basically you'll give it to the man.
A judgment.
Right, the man, right, a judgment saying that if I, right, that I swore, and I'm okay, and then he will only give it to me once I've sworn in the other area. So that's it. Basically, they're going to write the conclusion of the case, give it into an escrow, basically go into a escrow or to a custodian here, and then he will only give it over to her once it's validated.
Earlier in the Masechta, we had cases where the three judges, two of them were witnesses, could they act, could one testify in front of the others, and then could they testify on the basis of the fact that they heard it from him, right? And the Gemara over there says, how can a Beis Din write something that didn't happen yet?
Right.
How can they write that?
Exactly, the Gemara is going to ask that. Very good. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to ask. So I'm going to write a Bibi by Kitva law, right? I'm going to write a Mishum, Da'atitu Mumulai. Right, because you guys are Mimulai is from Beis Eli, right? That are people going to be cut off, only get short lives. That's the curse of Beis Eli. Mutamili Mulai, so you guys set off cut off words, meaning you said something silly. Hamarova, hi Ashrata de Daina, the Michtava Makame, this is what you were saying, Shol, that this Ashrata de Daina, the Michtava Makame, the Nechavusade, that if this, they go to court. It's a court validation of the document. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a notary public or something where they validate the document. So if this validation was written prior to the witnesses coming and testify, achatimos yudayu psula. If it was written prior to the time that they actually came and signed testified to their signatures, it's invalid.
Is this the same thing?
Yeah, exactly. Alma, it looks like you're lying. Meaning that even though in the end it turns out to be true, right, but the fact that when it was written, it looks like right, it was not true, then that's already Mechzei Kashikra. Achanami Mechzei Kashikra. That's what it says.
Again, what are they saying? She's asking for a note
that says that she swore.
No, she will swear.
No.
No, she wants it to say that she did swear.
Isn't that a note that she will swear?
No. No, that Kitvula, Zichvuta.
Kitvula, so what is
the Zichvuta is that I swore in this Beis Din and I was cleared. Then, when will you give it to me? Techi Mishtabna Yahavali. When I take a Shavuot, they will give it to me. Right, the zichvuta is about her swearing in this Beis Din.
She didn't swear though.
Not till she gets the other place.
Right.
But they'll give it to the Baal. He won't hand it over to her, the husband or the man, whoever's the other claimant here.
They'll give it to him,
and he won't hand it to her till she actually does take the shua. All right.
She wants to avoid having to come back to this Beis Din.
Right. She wants to have it validated already, and therefore that she won't have to come back again to say that they did the shua over in the place they agreed. She agreed to do it. When she does it, he'll hand her the document, and that'll be done. All right. Now, so the Gemara says, let them eat the Rav Nachman. That's not true. What the conclusion of this case is not true because of Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbi Meir, Afilu Matzo be'ashba v'chatzmu v'natnu lo kosher. Even if he finds a get in the garbage that has his name, her name on it, he can go ahead, sign it, and hand her the get. Right? That's a valid get. Va'afilu Rabbonon. And the Rabbonon, the arguing Rabbi Meir, say, you can't give a get like this. Why? Lo pligi alei the Rabbi Meir, lebegitei noshim. They only argue by getting because you need what? To be niksiva l'shma. By a get, it says v'kot of law, that has to be specifically written for that woman and for this husband. So that's what you need niksiva l'shma. So that's a chisaron in get. But about b'shar shtaros, modilei. But any other star, they agree that what? That you can write such a star. Dam Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, shtar shalava bo uparo. If you had a document, this is what you were asking about, why would they reuse the star here? Mm-hmm. Why? They star shalavavo paro. They lent with it, and it was paid back. Enu choser velovavo. You cannot go and borrow with that star. So who has the star now? Star is in the hands of the debtor. He took the star back because he had borrowed the money, and he paid it back. Now he wants to give this document to someone else to be a debtor.
Or the same guy, right?
Shekvar, what's the problem here? Shekvar nimchal shibudo. Right, so that the shibud is now missing, meaning that even though the document exists, right, the shibud is lacking because the shibud happens at the time that the shibud's machol, it's already been finished, it's been cleaned off of here. Taima the nimcha shibudol. The only the reason what the problem with this shtar is what that the shibud was nimcha, that the lien was eliminated, but not because what? But lemechse kashir velo chashina. But we don't worry about the fact that what that it looks like sheker. So you see, so you have two proofs here that what. The problem of Mechsek Shikra we don't worry about. What's that? Two proofs. One is from the case of Gittim, that even Rabbi Meir says you can take it out of the garbage and do it by a Gittin Oshim and so too by dead documents. The Chamim will argue on Rabbi Meir, say what? You can't do by get because you require Lishma. But if it was simply a dead document, no problem. You could have done such a thing. You could have taken it out of the garbage and used it. So what do you see? Even though it was a pre-signed and ready document, they're allowing you to use it.
To me, they don't seem like perfectly parallel cases. The other writing thing is just not true.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet. They're writing, she swore. She didn't swear yet.
Right.
You know, so
they're saying that she swore, but they're putting it in.
In the case of the loan document,
right.
It could be true.
But they're putting it in the hands of somebody to ensure that it's only given at the time that it's true. Right.
I understand. But in terms of, I'm just saying the comparison, the proof from those other cases, I don't see them as being completely parallel.
Right, because over here, when they're written, they were actually true, you're saying?
They're true.
Yeah, but it's not here when he's divorcing her, that's not true. I mean, he's divorcing her, there's somebody else wrote the document. It was somebody else's divorce document. He just happens to find it, and he goes, oh, wow, look at this, just how convenient, it has my name, her name, right, date, and I was just about to get divorced. It was written by someone else. When it was written, it had no relevance.
But, but there's no falsehood involved over there. I want to divorce her. Look here. I understand. It's got everything that it needs.
Right.
I'm writing that she swore. Well, no, she didn't swear.
Right.
There was like, it could.
Yeah, but the lending document also over here, it was written for a prior loan. So it was written beforehand.
And the prior
at
loan
the time was, it was written, you're saying it was written.
No, or even the prior loan could be the same day.
Right.
Like, all the information could be the same.
It has to be the same day. Otherwise, you have a problem with the
predating
the shtar. It has to be the same day. He has to have borrowed that day, repaid it that day, and then reborrowed that day because otherwise, then you have you're predating the shibud that
he has. Like in both those two documents, you're saying, okay, it could be that at the time that it was written, what it was written about wasn't referring to this, but you can use it for this because this is also true.
Right.
Over there, at the time that it was written, it was written about something that at that point was not yet true.
Right. All right. I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
Till later.
Right. All right. I have to look at it again. All right. How Gavra, the Ifkid, Shav, Marganita, the Tzair, Besandina. So this Gavra, that he went ahead and gave over seven diamonds, let's call it, seven jewels, that were wrapped up in a handkerchief. Bei Rabbi Mi'ashto, Barbare, the Rabbi Shul Ben Levi. So you see, in their days, they didn't have any banks or safety deposit boxes. So who were the Amoraim? Were the safety deposit box? You had to find people that were trustworthy to leave the stuff with. So he had these seven jewels that wrapped up in a sudden, and he leaves them by Rabbi Miyasha, the grandson of Rabbi Shul Ben Levi. Shochei Rabbi Miyasha. Suddenly Rabbi Miyasha pays away, below pocket, and he didn't have time to tell everybody about what was in his possessions. So after the Kamei, the Rabbi Ami. So the Yisomim of this individual who had left the stuff for Rabbi Miyasha come to claim their stuff. The family of Rabbi Miyasha says, how do you know it's not ours? How do you know it's not our father's? How do you know their claim is a good claim? So Amalei, Chadid Yidan Abed the Rabbi Miyasha, Barbarei the Rabbi Shul Ben Levi, Dilo Amid. Let me start with this. First of all, I know he was not a rich man. All right, that's easy. The first thing I start with is that we know he wasn't wealthy, and he didn't have, those weren't the types of items that he trafficked in. Right? These are not the types of things that he would have had in his possession. But they're giving up a simon. Rashi says the simon is what? He said that it were seven, and it was wrapped up in a handkerchief. So they're giving clear simonim about what the item is. So he says, that's only if these claimants were not regularly in Rav Miyasha's house, right? Because if a rugged alvin ofik lasam ema inishachrina afkid, they could say someone else gave them, minu mechsechaza, then they saw this item, and then they came out and made the claim afterwards, right? So the place of Lo Amid is enough to get it out of the hands of Rabbi Miyasha. To say it's not belonging to Rabbi Miyasha, that's enough to say what? The Lo Amid, that he wasn't a wealthy man, so it makes no sense that these were his, right? But to give it to them, right, you need a second thing, which is they need simonim. They need to make a good claim, because otherwise it could belong to someone else. So the simonim are needed to make their claim a valid claim. All right, that's the way the Rashba learns here. That's where the Rashba learns here. Tosfos tries to learn a little differently, that he says that they're sequential claims, that they one strengthens the other. You need both claims to make it a full claim. But the way the Rashba learns, I think, is a simpler way to learn. It's basically that one claim is to get it out of Rabbi Miyasha's possession, the other one is to give it to. Who do we give it to? All right. So now, next case. Gavra. Davki kasa the kaspa. This guy left over a silver cup, bechasa. In the house of chasa. Shechim chasa. Chasa passed away. He drowned somewhere. That's below pocket. And he didn't give instructions to his family. To look, I made the Rav Nachman. They came from Rav Nachman. I know Chasa was not a wealthy man, so clearly does not belong to him the silver club. Right, that they're giving simonim. They gave somehow. They described the cup. They said that it had certain drawings on it. It had this name on it. Whatever it was that they gave. Right. Again, the point is that the claimants here are not regular visitors to this house. That they saw it, and now they're trying to make a claim on an item that does not belong to them. Okay,
how the maybe the reason Tosus wants to learn differently than the Rashba is that this qualification over here really only applies to the Simon part.
Disqualification.
Right. That this claim only works if they're not regular visitors to the. Because if they were, then that would really negate their the simon aspect of their claim.
Right. Yeah. So, but then what does that do to the Rashi? Well, which is separating the two points. But the
implication of the Gemara is that we wouldn't take it away from them.
Yeah. Right. According to both opinions, even according to Tosus, we wouldn't take it away from him because Tosus requires both items to get it out of his possession. I mean, but Tosus says both items are required to move the item here. Right, I mean that they're co-evidence, whereas the Rashba says each claim independently is a good claim.
Right, but you're saying but the first claim is only good enough to take it out of the possession.
Of Rashba, they'll leave it with the Beis Din. They won't leave it with his.
They won't leave it with him.
And this reason about
Simon, I would say if that's the only problem, then we should still take it out of the possession.
No. Because you have no other claimant.
I'm saying Tosfos learns it that way, maybe because of that. Because according to the way the Rashba learns it, why shouldn't you take it out of it? If you're saying, I know that...
Gemara doesn't say that. It just says that they won't give it to him. All the Gemara says, if you don't have a valid simon because they went in and out, then it's not a valid claim for them and they can't take it. Gemara never says they don't take it out of his possession. But the Gemara never made its claim. It's just that their claim is not a good claim at that point. That's all the Gemara said. It's not that the claim is that they get it. Their claim's not valid. The fact that it remains in his possession, the Gemara doesn't address that issue.
No, but it's sort of implicit. In other words, it's saying that this whole ruling is only based, if they didn't.
Right, it's a ruling for them to have it. I think Tosfos is ample. Tosfos has problems with other Gemaras.
I'm saying I can see why Tosfos learns the way they do, because it seems that the way the Rashba learns it. They should have said that they take it away from them, but they don't give it to the.
All right. How do you define metaxa? What's metaxa? Metaxa is levush meshi. It's a some sort of silk garment. Be Rav Dimi. So there was a in the house of Rav Dimi, Achu the Rav Safra. So again, another shechiv Rav Dimi below pocket. Again, he died suddenly and he didn't give over to some atul. Come here, Rav. I'm a little chadid. You done a bit Rav Dimi. The law. First of all, I know he's not a rich guy. Some are giving a simon. Below Amran, el below Rogio. So again, the same type of claim. But you mechse chaza, and then he saw it. Okay, how old Amar lulu niksai letuvio? This guy's
why are they bringing the case?
Right? Why they bring all three cases down? I don't know. I guess for different items. One of them where the simon is muvhak. I think you have to say that the difference is in the simonim that. Each of these cases, the simonim are of a different quality of the simon. Right. One is a simon that it's muvak in the item. One is a simon that's out of the item. That here, where when you have it shaved, there's seven of them wrapped up in a handkerchief. That's a unique simon. That's not a thing. If the cup, you can say what? Oh, the cup. All silver cups have this. They took a guess that the row of silver cups have this type of design on it. But maybe that's not a simon muvak because it's on the cup itself, not something that is what unique about the way it was placed. And then levush meshi is even something where you'd have a weaker claim about when they try to describe
because
a piece of clothing.
Tosfos doesn't like the one about tzara b'sadina b'shul. He has that.
Yeah, he thinks it's
not. Lavi simon quotes Rashi elsewhere.
Right. Yeah, he says that we've never seen such a simon before.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't reject Rashi. He just says we've never seen it before. He doesn't give an alternative when he says that. All right. So that's
Say the riff says that the Gemara brings all three incidents. The damage to the soul is clear and uncontested.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the Rambam.
The Tosfos read says something like that. By the way, that's very funny. Mentioning it, that the Tosfos read over here says, if you look at the wide lines on the right side, Tosfos reads on both sides here. If you look on the wide lines on the right side, he says, "Baruch Hashem Kulam Hiskimu L'Dat Zeh Ka Halacha Ruvechas B'Yisrael." fact that the three cases went this way, that proves that it's, thank you for reminding me that, what? That that's it. That's the halacha is that way. So the Tosfos Ri brings that statement that that's why he has all three cases here. All right. So, how Amar.
But if he doesn't get it, the key is what he says. V'yam v'biyali is so much of Elio. So it remains in the hands of the Yisom.
Yeah.
And there's no question of Besson taking it away without giving it to him.
Yeah, but they still don't have a valid claim. I mean, it stays with the Yisom, but I don't know what they could do with it. I mean, they can't. It sounds like they can't sell it, because Achivo Yelio means that they don't really have rights to do something with it, right?
That makes sense.
Right, so why would you leave it in the hands of the Yisom, right? Right, that doesn't make so much sense. All right.
Can I get the feeling it's not so safe to, you know, to take you know, because them to watch for people. Okay. Everyone that did it.
So oh, the Amar Lo Nixai Latuvia. So this guy says, all my possessions. He's on a deathbed. He goes, all my possessions go to Tuvia. So Shachiv, he dies. At the Tuvia. Tuvia shows up. Amar Rav Yochanan, hurry about Tuvia. Tuvia showed up. So here is his stuff, you know. So then Amar Tuvia, he says, what? Right? That he says, Tuvia, my stuff goes to Tuvia. But at the Rav Tuvia. And instead, Rav Tuvia shows up, says, it's my stuff. Says Tuvia Amar, Rab Tuvia Lo Amar. He says goes to Tuvia. He wouldn't make, you know, it's not like it's like right. You wouldn't say somebody a rabbi call him by his first name. You would say Rav. So that's it. So it's not appropriate. Be Enish the Gospe. Well, he's called Chavrusa, or somebody knows him from when he was a kid already. Ha Gospe, and he would say his name without the word Rav in front of it. So Atushne Tuvia. What happens if two Tuvia show up now? Right? He says it's for Tuvia, and then two of them show up. Say it's me. So then, so the question. Okay, what are their markings that make them valid claimants here. Shochein v'tamid chacham. One of them is a tamid chacham. One of them is a shochein. Tamid chacham kodim. And he definitely gave it to the tamid chacham. Look at Rashi. Tamid chacham kodim. The mistoma adam makstich masav l'schus b'shas misa. Person wants to do the right thing before he dies. Right? He wants to give it to a tamid chacham before he dies.
He wants to
grease the path. That's it. So he put it. Karov v'tamid chacham. You have a relative. And a Talmud Chacham Kodim. That's good, right? That's it. So we take a relative and a Talmud Chacham goes first. You buy those, so the only question they have is, Shochein v'karov mai. What happens? You have a neighbor and a karov. Who goes first? Tashma. Tov shochein karov mi'ach rochog. Better a close neighbor than a distant relative. Right? So now, Shneim Krovim, they're both relatives. Shneim Shechinim, and they both live in the neighborhood. Shneim Chachamim, and they're both Tamidei Chachamim. What is this? Shuda de Daine.
You can figure it out.
Well, yeah, you can figure it out. So Shuda de Daine is a machlokas here. It's what that means. Shuda de Daine. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Shuda de Daine. Hatalas adayonim. The fima sheyiru adayonim. Right. The way the dayonim see it, shaya darkul shemes the karivet ze yoter mizeh. That which one would he have been closer for? They take, you know, they take evidence, letters, all that stuff, figure out who was the one who was closer to him. Or misha b'nehem dov v'noheg v'derech yishara. Which one of these has a, you know, a better way of being or acting? Which one is a greater, right, I don't know, a mitzvah? Because why? Sheesh lomar bo nitkaven ha-meis l'schus. Because the mace will be make it for a schus. And if you look in, let's see if I can find this quickly. Here. If you look in the Tosfos Ri, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom on the right side. 7 lines from the bottom on the right side. Perish. It's the dot there in the middle. Perish. That's the first answer in Rashi. Oh, whoever acts better. I mean, someone who does more mitzvos, does more things, right? Right? This idea that what? When you do a mitzvah, someone does a mitzvah, this whole idea. That's why when you say the, when Kel Moleis and all that, the Kel Moleis is not as important, inherently important. It's that I'm going to give tzedakah b'avuro. I'm going to do a mitzvah for the individual. I mean, that the kaparas nafsho is that someone acts in a manner or mitzvah. So what they're going to check is, who should the money go to? Who's going to perform more mitzvahs with this money or do more with this money? Because those will act as a kapara for the mace. Unbelievable. I just thought it was very, very important. Here, Tosfos arcs on Shuda Dedaina, that not could like the parish hakuntris, but he says,
a yisker appeal.
Yep, exactly. Right. Elomer That's what Rabbeinu Tam says, that show the dayanim is that it's free. It's a free it's a free decision on the dayanim. They don't have to take any more evidence. If it's all equal, they make the decision, they can just decide whoever they want. Versus Rashi, who says that we still bring alternative evidence into the case to try to figure out who it is. Right during the Gemara. All right, Amalei Rava Breid the Rav Chia Bar Avin Ta Emel Lachom Milsom Ayusu Dahavam Ravuch. Let me say to you some great stuff that your father used to say. Hadam or Shmuel. that which Shmuel used to say, Hamocher shtar chov lechavero b'chazer machlo mochel. If you sell a debt document to another person, then you go ahead and are mochel on the debt document. The creditor goes ahead. The original creditor goes ahead and is mochel the loan, right? Mochel. Then, oh, it's mochel. It works. V'afilu yoresh mochel. Even the yoresh of the first, right? The first creditor.
Knock it off from the
buyer of the debt. So this, again, this is a problem. Today we don't do that. Again, today we buy debt documents with liens in them, and you can go. You become a creditor. If you buy, it happens all the time in the open markets, you can buy debt that on a company, you can buy debt that's out of bankruptcy, you can buy debt as a open transaction. You become the real creditor. The old people have no rights in the debt. Over here, the Gemara says, no, you cannot sell a debt. You cannot sell the debt. What you can do is sell the right to collection, but you can't sell the rights to the shibut. And that's what you're going to see here, right? Modesh Shmuel b'mechneset shtarchov lebalo. If a woman brings in a document of debt to her marriage, v'chozra machalto, and then she goes ahead and what? So when she brings it into her marriage, now it belongs to the possessions of the husband, or partial possession of the husband. Then she goes ahead and is mochel on the shtar.
She's not like the first.
Right. Machalto she'enu mochel. That is not a mechila. Why? Neshi yado ki yada. Right, that was my earlier, that they have equal ownership in it, that this is different. This is different than a regular sale, because that he's now standing in her place. It's like the yorshim. The yorshim who stand in place of the creditor, right? They have rights like the creditor. But here, where she is coming into the marriage, it's not like he bought it from her. It's that now he's standing in her place.
Did you ever say that his hand is stronger than hers?
Tosus asked that question. Tosus Reed asked that question, actually. He says he doesn't think this is a proof to buy his position. He says that the Gemara just needed that level. Meaning that it's not that the halakha is like a bayah, not like Ravo, but rather what? Had they needed it to be Yadol Gobera Yadol, they would have bought Ravo. But the fact is that all they needed to get to was that they were of equal stature. So he said it's not a proof. It's a good question. And I would just see here, if you look in Tosus Reed, there's good, he explains this very well. Here, if you look up here, right here. If you look in Tosfos, be on the left side. left side, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines down. It says, Afal pi. Afal pi she shtar ena parua. Even though the shtar is not paid back, yochol limcholo. He can forgive the loan. Mipnei she eni yochol laknono meimeno she enu be'ein. A shtar chob is not something that's in, it's not mamashi. It doesn't have a substance to it, right? Since it's not of substance, you can't be machnet, right? De milva lehotzah nitna, because how does a loan work? A loan goes, you give the money, and the money's gone, right? Ve'ein ha'kinyan chalal b'davar shu be'ein, and a kinyan can only work on something that what? Has mamashut, has substance to it. Lo b'davar she'enu be'ein. U'mipnei zeh ha'tam yochol limchol zeh shelo kana lokeach guf hamono. He never acquired the actual debt. El eschus notano. He bought a right, that he can make a claim, that he become a creditor, but he's a creditor as long as it's not somehow ruined. He's now a creditor as long as it's not, there's nothing came in between them and the debt. Right? But Kaven Shizek had a machalo, but the zechuso, he lost his zechus. All right. I mean, I would.
So I could get money from Gedalia, you know, and authorize him to collect the debt that Tzvi owes me, and I can tell Tzvi.
Don't pay it back.
Yeah, but so clearly though, if it was a chayfetz, let's say it wasn't a loan, let's say it was an object, then that would be sold.
He'd have no. That's not a
sheila.
That's not a lobe. That's a different. You're making it. That's a sheila, not a lobe.
Right.
That's different. You can't. When you're borrowing there, that's sheila. Then you bring back the same object. So there you can.
Right. So then you can. Then you can
sell the object because there it's not. You never lost possession of the object. You're selling an object.
Right. So that's why. That's why it would work.
Right.
That's why you can't be mochel. Because
there you're not selling the claim. You're selling the object. Over here, you're selling the claim and not the object, and that's the problem, right? It's an amazing thing in debt. It's a tremendous, issue for debt. And then we'll have to see tomorrow what happens. He did sell it, right? So you sold it to Gedalia. Then you go and forgive it. Or did you owe anything to Gedalia? Can he come back and make a claim against you? You sold me something that wasn't valued. So that's what we'll have to deal with tomorrow. We'll do